Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sponsored exclusively by the law firm Condorian Murad. We're Grant and Danny. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Remember, it is Commander's Survivor Day. Go to facebook.com/Grant and Danny to vote a commander off the island to give a commander immunity going into week 14 in the National Football League. Washington set to head to Minneapolis, frigid Minnesota. Luckily, they'll be playing indoors in one of the most beautiful stadiums in the NFL on Sunday. But right now, let's get to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show, our buddy Bill. It's Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt joining us on Grant and Danny. Bill, good to talk to you again, man. How are you?
What's going on? I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing very well.
How y'all doing?
I got to say, even though it was a loss in overtime, that was a super entertaining, fun game on Sunday night. What was it like to play in that one, a one-point overtime game, taking on one of the best teams in the NFL?
It was definitely exciting. You like games like that, especially when it's that competitive. And, I mean, you just want to capitalize and win it. So definitely hurt not to come out on top. But I mean, that's what you like, those competitive games and just seeing the fight in your team. Like, we just needed to come out on top.
Their defense is really, really good, but you guys were able to move the football, score some points, do what not a lot of teams have done to them this year. How were you guys able to find so much success on the ground, Bill?
Just Not trying to make nothing up, basically. Just sticking to our routine and like just execute. I feel like that was the main thing that helped the run game. And I mean, guys was just on point with what we needed to do.
Yeah, 142 rushing yards in the game. When you go Mariota's 55, Rodriguez had 41, McNichols had 30. You added 20 on your four carries, and you had a really nice 12-yard run that looked like earlier this season when you were going at peak, where you bounce it back to the right, you find some space, and get downhill. Did that feel like, you know, how you were going when you were grooving early in the year? That had to feel good.
Yeah, it definitely did. For me to go out there and like just create an explosive play, that definitely felt good for sure.
That's such a good pass rushing group over there in Denver. They came in leading the league in sacks. What did you guys have to do as running backs just to make sure that they didn't get to Marcus?
They have so many different looks, so we just had to make sure we know like who was who and like who was our guy and like just basically a lot of film study, because they can disguise things so well. So it was basically just locking in more on film and understanding what they like to do on defense and who they like to bring.
Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt with us on Grant and Danny. To that point, along those lines, the Vikings are one of the most blitz-happy teams in the NFL. Brian Flores is dialing up blitzes from the parking lot. He gets off the bus. I mean, they blitz more than anybody. What kind of film study is this for you, just to be in that backfield, to know where things are coming from? They're going to do exotic stuff you haven't seen. Like, how do you prepare for a team that blitzes as much as the Vikings and Flores?
I would say just knowing who my ID is, who my guy is, and just knowing my assignment on this play right here, and basically just staying true to my read, even though they may give us these different looks and try to disguise it as something else. But it's basically just making sure you just stay disciplined until you read, and like just gotta trust everybody to do their job. Which you and the O-line just have to be on the same page.
In terms of being on the same page, is it hard to have different quarterbacks kind of come in and out? I know Marcus has played a bunch, and hoping Jaden plays with us this weekend or coming up soon. Do you have to prepare differently at all for different cadences or different tendencies with each guy? Is it a challenge to kind of have different quarterbacks?
I wouldn't say it's a challenge for me. I think both of the guys run the system the same, so it's really not a difference, like, about who's at quarterback. So I feel like we all get the calls the same. So it's really not a huge difference. You just gotta know your assignment, and like just communicating the calls with the O-lines and the quarterback, basically, so we can understand what protection we in.
Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt of the Commanders. They're 3-9 going to Minnesota, trying to end a 7-game skid. Kind enough to join us here on GND. Give us a couple of minutes on the Fan. Bill, as far as Terry McLaurin's game goes, it just felt like a good reminder of what he's capable of. You know, all year long we've talked about the injuries, and dating back to the summer, the holdout was such a big story. But that was a grown man performance. I mean, was that a reminder for you guys, too, of just how much he can impact things and how different things are when he's out there?
It was great to have him out there. But we definitely know what type of player he is already. So it was good just to see him just back on the field with us. It was definitely exciting to see him make the catches that he had, and like just him even being physical after the catch, and like just his presence made things fun out there for sure.
Speaking of the physical, Ja'Cory, you're playing a lot of games, man. This is a long NFL season. It's a grind. I know, you know, through no fault of your own, you didn't get to play as many games in college last year, certainly. How's your body holding up? How are you feeling mentally? Where are you?
I feel like everything's going smooth.
Good.
Body's feeling great. Just making sure I can take care of it week in and week out. So body's feeling good, and like mentally wise, I mean, it's a long season, but you know, you just gotta stay focused and take it one day at a time, and like not look too far ahead, and just attack every day the same. So I mean, I feel like I'm handling it pretty smooth. I don't think it's nothing too much that I can't carry.
Bill, we'll let you out on this one, but I just wanted to get your thoughts. I hadn't talked to any players about this since game night. The two-point conversion to try to go for the win instead of tying it and extending overtime there. Danny and I were both cool with it. I loved it. I thought it was the only decision, but I'd be curious to hear from you. Like, did you guys know the whole time if you got down there you were going to go for two and go for the win? And what was your reaction to that?
Man, I loved it. I mean, I really didn't know, but whatever his decision was, was ready to go out there and execute the play. So I mean, it was whatever he called, we was gonna be fine with it. But we was okay with going with two for sure.
Hey, let me sneak in one more, because Hard Knocks is tonight on HBO, and I'm so excited. The Redskins, Commanders, football team, whatever they've been called, has never been on this show, and I've wanted this. So many of us have wanted this for years. Have you noticed the cameras? Like, have they sat down and done interviews with you? Just how involved have they been, or intrusive or otherwise, has that process been? And are you excited to see what it becomes here on HBO for Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the cameras around, and like it's cool just to like. I mean, you grew up watching the Hard Knocks, and now they're here. But we definitely noticed the cameras around, and like I haven't been on one yet. I haven't sat down and done an interview with them yet, but it's definitely different just having like a film crew around and like cameras in the meeting rooms and stuff like that.
You gonna watch yourself tonight?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I would too, buddy.
What time do it come on?
9 o'clock tonight on HBO.
Okay. I'll definitely have to check it out.
If you don't have HBO Max, text me. I'll give you my login.
All right, I got you.
Jay, if it asks you, we live in the same family. It's me, you, and cousin.
I bet.
All right, if you want, you can add cousin's little decal right there. It could be a little puppy right on my HBO Max account.
No, I got you. Appreciate that.
All right, you just got to give me your Hulu or something like that.
No, we can definitely spot something out.
I'm just messing with you. All right, Bill, be good,
man. I know.
good catching up.
No.
All right, enjoy.
See you, buddy.
There's Ja'Cory Crosby Merritt. It's Bill season.
Bill season.
Grant and Danny every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Hard Knocks tonight, 9 p.m. on HBO. He's going to watch it, I bet. He's going to tune in.
I would.
I'll text him and make sure he has the login just in case. But I think he's probably got HBO Max, right? I don't know. He's watching like Real Time with Bill Maher or what's on HBO these days.
Yeah, right? There's always like some sort of show where it's like one word, like a catchphrase. It's like terrifying or some sort of weird word. It's like a mystery and some guy's like rubbing his forehead a lot.
I can't wait to see what Hard Knocks brings this evening, episode one. Have you guys seen the video circulating, the teaser? I think they've got one for every team. The teaser for the Commanders is the club finding out that Tavita Pritchard got the Stanford job. And so here's what's interesting to me about this. We'll play the clip for you in a second. But Jeremy Reeves walks up in front of the team, as in safety and special teams player Jeremy Reeves. Now, he is one of the longest tenured players on the team at this point, behind only Tress Way. He was here with Ron Rivera, as was Tavita Pritchard, remember. He came in before this staff, and they kept him on as they were looking for their quarterback and eventually drafted Jaden Daniels. So maybe they just have a relationship that goes back based on that and him being around longer. But I did find it really interesting that it's Reeves that goes up to shout out Pritchard and give him the credit in front of the team and not one of the QBs, like either Jaden or one of the veterans that he works with in the QB room every single day. But here's a teaser, a little trailer from Hard Knocks from a Commanders team meeting with Dan Quinn and Jeremy Reeves addressing Tavita Pritchard.
Morning, everybody.
What up, Revo?
As we know, man, we had a special thing happen for one of ours. We want to give a huge commander appreciation to the dude that I personally been here with, do a lot. We've seen every aspect of this building, man, and now he's on a new journey. We're super excited for you, brother. I'm happy for you, man. So us and the fellas want to give you a huge commander's appreciation for what's to come, man. New head coach, Stanford.
Holy f***!
I don't even think he said Tavita at any point. They just kind of all jump up and go crazy. And then Tavita Pritchard speaks, which if you can grab that, I'd want to see that as well, Darius. But what do you make
really
of
cool
Jeremy Reeves making the announcement? I mean, he is truly one of the leaders in that room, obviously.
Yeah, he's like the tenured professor, you know what I mean? Like, who's been around through all the different regimes. And if there's something to be done, it's like you'll turn to one of your leaders. It's not just the Bobby Wagner's a leader because the bona fides. He walks in, my gold jacket size is X. As soon as I'm done playing, I get it. This is a culture guy, team leader, been through it all. You know, again, cutting across multiple regimes, if you've got something special, you're running through him.
There's two ways to look at it. I think one is very positive, which is to say the brotherhood knows no bounds. That a safety is shouting out the quarterback's coach who got the head coaching job. And, like, anyone can give this speech because we're all brothers in the brotherhood. But at the same time, I also, you know, I guess I just wished, like, it would have been cooler if that clip was Jaden Daniels. I don't have a problem that it isn't. I'm not, like, knocking him. But if Jaden stands up in front of the team and his direct coach, that he just got this job, basically, just got the Stanford job. But I have a lot of questions, too, leading into it. Like, maybe we'll see this. Maybe we won't. It might just cut straight to that scene and we won't know how it started. As if at the end of the meeting is Dan Quinn going, anybody else got anything they want to address? And like Revo just walks up to do that out of the goodness of his heart because Tavita got the job and nobody's mentioned it? Or is that something he's told before the interview or before the meeting rather? Hey, we want you to go up there and make the announcement that he got the job. Like those are some of the questions I have. This was Pritchard, the quarterback's coach, when he addresses the team after getting called up in front of the group that he had just been named the head coach at Stanford.
That's a lot or not here. I feel full of gratitude right now. And I'll tell you this, when I came into the league in the year ago, I knew I was going to learn ball. Like, that's what you always hear. You can go get your PhD in football. What I wasn't prepared for since Q got here and AP and you guys was learning that brotherhood happens like brotherhood equaling winning happens on the highest level. And like you guys have proven that, you showed me that, and what you've allowed me to take back now in this new role, again, I'm grateful because I go back with a strong conviction that that's what it's all about. And so thank you guys for that. You guys are going to have some Commanders fans in Palo Alto. Because my boys are like that. We're still going to cheer for the Commanders. Right? I'm like, yeah, we're going to. You still got some fans there? Our doors are open, man. If you guys are ever in the Bay, please come by and see me. I can't thank you enough, Q, for everything you've done. AP, the whole staff, like that brotherhood that I talked about with these guys you guys showed me. But all of you on staff, the special connection that we formed, it'll last forever. And as we say in this thing, man, football is very cyclical. It's not goodbye. See you later.
Right on, TP.
Good for Tavita Pritchard, the quarterback's coach here in Washington the last few years with Rivera's regime and then 2 years with Dan Quinn's regime, who's now the head coach at Stanford. He played at Stanford with Andrew Luck. Luck is now the GM there, who interviewed him for the job, so they have a long-lasting relationship. Man. Pritchard, he said the other day, I think I saw somewhere, that he was at Stanford between his playing and coaching days for like 18 years. He does not seem old enough for that to be the case to me, but let's say it's close to that, whatever. It's a homecoming for him. It's a huge deal. So
oh, it's awesome.
Congratulations, and how amazing is that to get a head job at a program like that? I mean, that's significant for Tavita Pritchard. You're either going to have a shot at an OC job in the league in the next year or two, or you're already going to be a head coach in college, which is pretty amazing.
No, it's pretty awesome. The thing that I heard the most, though, in Reeves' speech and then Tavita Pritchard's speech, remember when Josh Harris was talking about the name, right? He's like, I think, you know, the commander tag actually means something now. I heard that. And it's annoying. It makes my eyes roll and my stomach upset. Like, it's cringeworthy to me, but you're a Revo. Like, I want to give a commander shout-out or, like, a commander thank you or a commander congratulations. It's like we're doing Mickey Mouse type stuff. I want to give a special Mickey clap. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Like, that's all I hear. And he's like, you're going to have some Commanders fans in Palo Alto. It's, like, so cheesy, but they're in on it.
He's just saying the name of the team.
No, I know, but they're in on it. Like, you would say...
Well, here's what I got out of the video, and maybe it didn't translate as well audio-wise as video-wise. Dan Quinn jumps up and takes his... like cap off his water bottle for some reason and starts like spraying water.
Yeah, they're doing a little whooping and holler,
like,
which is fun.
Celebration bit, which is great. And then the whole team is jumping up and down and going nuts. Like the brotherhood is alive and well.
No, it's real.
I mean, it is like what they have built. Now, last year, it all made sense. You knew it. Just turn on the TV. They're going to win another game today somehow, some way. And it made sense. This year, somehow they never win. They can't win. No matter what happens, no matter how much the Dolphins try to give him the game.
It's a different brotherhood.
It's not the same thing. But my God, dude, they love each other. They want to be there. I don't think anybody wants to go home. I think it's like a sleepover at your buddy's house where everyone's just so happy to be hanging out and dude's doing dude stuff. And you could see it. Like, they really, really like each other.
Pritchard was a quarterback at Stanford from 06 to 09. And then he immediately jumped into coaching with Stanford from 2010 all the way to 2022. So, yeah, that's 16 years.
I mean, that's a long time.
It's a long time.
How about that? And he's been in the NFL for better part of the last 8 years, I think it is. So he is headed back now at this point. Or I guess so 5 years, whatever it is, he's been in the NFL. All right, let's talk Dan Quinn calling defensive plays. It has worked well so far through two games. Is it something he may do next year, or would he want his coordinator to do that, whether that's Joe Witt or somebody else? That's next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Commanders getting set to take on the Vikings next Sunday. They are coming off seven straight losses today. They signed wide receiver Robbie Chosen back to the practice squad. Also, a schedule change for Week 16. The Packers and Bears have been moved from the 5 o'clock time slot to the 8:20 time slot. Commanders and Eagles have moved from 8:20 to 5 o'clock for the December 20th game at Northwest Stadium. Lions wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't practice for a second straight day as the Lions get set to take on the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. Tonight, Hard Knocks NFC East premieres at 9 o'clock. The Steelers, a couple moves today. They mutually agreed to part ways with cornerback Darius Slay and claimed wide receiver Adam Thielen off of waivers. In the NBA, Wizards beat the Bucks last night 129-126, second half of a back-to-back tonight. Wizards taking on the Sixers in Philly. 7 o'clock tip-off right here on The Fan. Hockey, the Capitals beginning a West Coast swing. They'll take on the Kings in L.A. at 10:30 tonight. You can hear that game right here on The Fan. From the Crop Medcalf 5-Star Sports Desk, I'm Toby Altizer on The Fan.
And DB's in for Quint. Knicks double pops and he threw an interception of Bobby Wagner. The veterans got it at the 36-yard line.
Mike Tirico on the call of Commanders Broncos action from Sunday Night Football. Washington's lost 7 in a row, 8 of 9. But over the last two games, they've showed major growth defensively. If you compare any of the numbers from their first 10 games in the last couple, you're going to see not only are the results better, but they've also done some different things. They were not playing nearly as much zone coverage as they have with Dan Quinn calling plays. Now, here's what I don't know, Danny. Did they start playing so much zone because of the injuries to their starting cornerbacks? They, for whatever reason, trusted Marshawn Lattimore in man coverage. And to a lesser extent, but as the year went on, maybe equally, Trey Amos in man coverage. And that was their plan in camp. It's what they ran throughout training camp against their bad wide receivers. They didn't really have a problem doing that. So they were going to run a lot of man, and they did. In the last two games with Dan Quinn as their play caller, They have had collectively 5 and 10 total plays in man coverage. They were averaging 17 per game before. And when you think about that, they just had 70 plays they were on the field for defensively and just 10 plays in man. That's pretty indicative of the percentage being way, 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 way down. So it's a lot more zone coverage. I think it's partially because of the injuries at corner, but it's also because of a new look that Dan Quinn is throwing out there. He's calling things differently. And you got to give him credit. I'm not saying it's perfect. They're still flawed with their personnel. There's still some real warts that are going to show up in big moments. But they're a much more professional, normal level of bad than they were when they couldn't even force a punt for weeks at a time.
That's the way to put it. They're just regular not good. And that's fine. You do this all year long. It's a much different season than they frankly have had.
That was always the expectation.
That was the hope, honestly.
And I kept saying, just be normal okay. Just be normal disappointing.
Yeah, hover around 21st. Right. You'll be fine with what we hope the offense would be. But yeah, I mean, so a couple things. I got the sense earlier on that they didn't think their pass coverage could hold up for all that long, so they were willing to blitz a little bit more, willing to, you know, to do a little bit more to try to get after the passer. The reason you don't run zone is if you don't think your 4, your 3, maybe sometimes your 5, can get home. Right, if guys are just getting in areas, you hold an area, and then a receiver can move around where you're a little bit more static. If you can't hold up or can't get to the passer in a certain amount of time, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4, you're going to be picked apart, and that was going to happen. So once Dorrance Armstrong went out, once you saw Dietrich Wise go out, and Frankie Louvu wasn't getting home like maybe they thought he would, or whatever the case, they kind of went, okay, we got to blitz a little bit more. We can't just sit here in zone. We'll get picked apart. Well, something happened, whether it was losing Lattimore, whether it was just a reevaluation, I don't know exactly what. Maybe it's the fact they didn't play two prolific passing offenses in a row. I think that's probably part of it, right? Dolphins run it pretty well. They don't throw it great, haven't in a while. And then you go to this week, certainly against Denver. That's not a prolific passing offense. They're, I think, around the 20s in terms of yards per pass attempt. That's probably part of it, too. But just the zones look better disguised to my untrained amateur eye, and they look better, like that communication buzzword we always hear about. Looks like everyone knows where they're supposed to be, and things are just working normally.
So we get to the same result. The only thing I would take issue with from that is they were blitzing a lot from day one on. Like, that's always been what they have been this year. And they're playing a lot of man from week one on. It's not like they started doing that in season. Remember the talking point in camp was how much better the corner room was, and now we can play man coverage, essentially. That was the shtick. That was what they were saying, and then they did it. For better or worse, early in the year, against the Giants and against the Raiders, I guess, technically, until the second half when Trey Tucker ate their lunch, like, it was for the better. But they were basically, defensively, doing some of the same things without a whole lot of changes. Now, there were games where they do a lot of both, to your point. But I just think that by necessity, they had to do this, and it has actually been a godsend. They've also gotten better play on the outside from Mikey Sanders still, in my opinion, than they were getting at a Marshawn Lattimore. A lot of people listening right now said, why don't they move Mikey outside and not play Marshawn Lattimore as much? They weren't willing to do that. They didn't want to kick him outside of the nickel. For whatever reason, they've never really been that high on Noah Igbinoghene, it doesn't seem like. Remember, the rumors were they were trying to trade him on cutdown day. Then he was inactive. You know, he was never a part of the plan to get on the field. I never really got that, because I thought last year, as a former first-round pick who came over from Dallas, because Dan Quinn knew him and liked him, and vice versa, I thought he played okay last year, didn't you?
Yes.
Guess what? He showed up and had a pretty good game, I thought, in the slot, in the nickel this past week.
It's a tough ask. He's not a world beater.
No, and it's the hardest position to play in the secondary.
Yeah, you'd like to do better, but that's not available to you right now. The guy that you thought was going to be the answer was Sanders still. I don't want to say the gavel's slammed on that or the book is closed, but it has not been a successful transition there. He's good on the outside. Maybe that's just what you do.
So I asked Logan Paulson this question on Take Command today about Mikey Sanders still, and I think what I asked him was something to the effect of, have we seen enough now to say he should just play outside? Because he's been really, really good out there, and the inside part of it hasn't gone nearly as well. And he made a really good point, which is to say it's too early to say that, and specific to this year, and I thought this was actually smart, he's like, he's being asked to do so much less outside right now than he was asked to do inside. When you were playing man in the slot, it's just an impossible ask. Yeah. Like, you're going up against, I'm just going to throw a guy out there, but like Amon-Ra St. Brown, one-on-one in man coverage in the slot, you're hoping not to give up 8 for 127 and 2 touchdowns. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in zone a ton on the outside, there's a lot of plays where you're just kind of standing there in an area of the field where if they're not threatening that side of the field, you're just kind of out on that play. You're not doing a whole lot. So this week, the numbers were pretty good. I think it was 5 targets, 4 catches, 22 yards, long of 12 against Mikey Sanders still. And I think two things can be true. He has played a lot better outside than inside, but maybe it's a little too early to slam the gavel and just say, all right, he should be an outside corner and they need to go find a nickel. But that might be the direction they go in. What I'm curious about, though, is we now have an 8-quarter plus, because 2 overtimes, but a 2-game sample against Miami where you gave up 16 points, against Denver where you gave up the 27, 20 of which were in regulation, where, while it's not perfect, it's way, 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 way better. And obviously, Dan Quinn replacing Joe Witt has been a huge success. What do we think of the possibility of Dan Quinn calling defensive plays next year, though? That's the question I want to hit on with you guys on the phones at 800-636-1067. This was always just kind of a stopgap solution, it felt like. This was not the long-term answer. This was duct tape. It was not concrete. You can't pull into your driveway because, you know, you're getting your mailbox fixed. So for a couple of days, you're parking in your yard. But you don't just park there forever. So is that something that could work? Are we interested in that? This was what Dan Quinn said when he was asked about this in his press conference a couple days ago.
Dan, this is a more of a future question, but I'll just ask it now. You obviously chose to have Joe Witt be your defensive coordinator because you part of your thinking was you wanted to delegate a bit more. Now that you've done this a couple games, is there a world where you could be the play caller next year?
I think, yeah, there's a possibility of that. As we're going through it, I'm finding a battle rhythm to go. So I'm not sure where I'm at on that yet, Ben. I haven't, discussed or gone down that road too far yet. But, I would say that's a possibility.
I was surprised with that answer.
Weren't you? Yeah.
First off, he rarely just directly answers something that candidly. I would have thought he would have said something like, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We'll talk about that this offseason. Hey, I got enough going on. I'm not thinking about 2026. But he was willing to engage. And then second, and maybe more surprising, you would think based on that, there's a really good chance that either he's having fun doing this, he thinks it's working well enough, he thinks that it's a seamless enough process that it's not distracting to the head coaching obligations and duties, that he might be down for this. Like, this could be something he wants to do into next year. And if that is the case, then there is a path maybe to Joe Witt still being around as the DC, because he could keep the role he's in right now without the play calling, and Dan Quinn could just, throughout the week be the head coach and then on Sundays call the plays.
Yeah, he's helping you with your game plan, helping you with your, what calls, assignments, checks, reads, watching film, et cetera. Yeah, that would be the path. I was really surprised by that, both for the reasons that you stated, that we're not used to him saying, like, yeah, that might happen. It's usually, some sort of vagary, a couple cliches, dance around without actually saying anything. That was a, hey, this is on the table answer to me, which I thought was surprising. But also, I just got the sense that he didn't want to do it. I don't know where I got that exactly, but just that's kind of how I felt, is that if there was any kind of doubt when he first got hired, it was, no, Joe Witt's going to do it. Like, I brought someone in to do it specifically. Like, that he graduated from that. He wanted to be the head coach, the CEO, everything is coming through him, and he'll weigh in on, we're going for it on fourth down, and this is when we feel good.
To my knowledge, he never called plays in Atlanta. I don't think he's ever wanted to do it. I don't know if...
As the head coach, yeah.
As the head coach, right. As a defensive coordinator, I've made this point a bunch. I'm pretty sure the numbers are something like, as a DC, his defenses have always ranked top fives. As a HC, his defenses have never been better than 14th, or something like that. My point is, get more involved. Like, you're really good at the D coordinator part. You're really good at the play calling part. Your defenses have always been awesome. Get involved. Do that. You've got this guy calling plays who is struggling immensely. The results have been awful.
Horrendous.
Where are you? I mean, you're a defensive-minded guy. It would be insane if an offensive-minded head coach was in here and their offense was terrible with a first-time play caller, and they didn't react or do anything about it, take over the play call.
One of the great frustrations with Rivera, watching Del Rio's defenses really flounder, and it's like you got all these defensive guys, a couple of guys that were made their bones as star linebackers, and the linebacking position was terrible. The defenses were, again, horrendous. I understand not being top two because you don't do nothing. It's not like you just did nothing but spend 80% of your salary cap on every draft pick on a defensive player. But again, you can't be at the bottom, and they were at the bottom. And they didn't do much about it.
I found this answer from Jay Gruden yesterday on the show pretty compelling. We asked him about doing both because, as you remember, he was a longtime head coach and offensive coordinator. He called his own plays at times, although when he got here, he initially kept Sean McVay on to be the play caller. And Jay, at that time, kind of ceded those responsibilities to McVay, who had a rising star. I think it was a way they kept him in the building, frankly. Eventually, they hired Kevin O'Connell, and he called plays under Jay here as well. This is what Gruden said about doing both in Dan Quinn's case.
I think that's up to Coach Quinn, how much he wants on his plate as the head coach and play caller on defense. And I think this is a good test for him. I know he's been head coach before in Atlanta. I'm not sure if he called defenses in Atlanta, but, you know, it's all coach what he feels comfortable with. And or if he has a play caller that he has in mind that's going to be on the streets. And there'll be seven or eight coaches are going to be fired this year in the NFL again, so there's going to be some good coordinators available. So if he finds a coordinator that he likes that calls plays, he'll probably do it. Otherwise, I think he'll do it himself again.
Jeff Ulbrich's a name that comes to mind if Raheem Morris gets blown out in Atlanta. Morris himself could be your D coordinator.
That's a name, yeah.
He's been on both sides of the balls, but Ulbrich's the DC in Atlanta. I think he's worked with Dan Quinn in the past. I mentioned Schwartz from Cleveland earlier, who's done a really good job. Awesome coordinator, long time guy, kind of a Del Rio type, who's been a head coach, been around the league forever. If Stefanski and the Brown staff get fired, like, that would be an interesting name. There's going to be some hot commodities at the position. So I would guess, and we're going to take calls on this next, I would guess they have a new play calling D coordinator that isn't Dan Quinn. And Joe Witt's out, and Quinn goes back to just being the head coach. But I would have thought that that was pretty much a lock before hearing that answer. And now I think there's a real good chance Quinn just decides he wants to keep doing this, and maybe he's enjoying it. What say you guys? 800-636-1067. Would you be cool with Quinn being their play caller and their de facto coordinator as their head coach next year? Or do you think there's a possibility that either Joe Witt gets that gig back or they go outside the building? That's next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
Yeah! I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is a Commanders Survivor Tuesday on GND. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny to vote. So you can go vote right now. We need a player booted off the island. We need to give a player immunity. Again, Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. How do you feel about Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator, play caller in 2026? Could this work? Could they run it back a year from now? Let's go to Josh in Upper Marlboro on GND. Josh, thanks for the call. What do you make of Quinn so far through two games?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is obviously night and day versus what we saw at the beginning of the season. So it makes sense. You know, we don't know for sure that another play caller will be better, but we know for sure that they've been a lot better with DQ. And so, I mean, I'm fully comfortable with this, especially if he seems to enjoy it. May I slightly derail us with a separate proposal that I spoke about with Toby Altizer?
Sure.
All out.
Okay. So a couple segments ago, we heard a lot of good things about some stand-up fellas, green flags all around, especially for one Darius Dameron and one Toby Altizer. By the way, I didn't mention that I was including Toby in this, which is why he put me on the phone. they are cooking food. They're throwing stuff out on time. Darius is washing his sheets way more than we all ever did.
Yes.
These guys are bona fide catches that would make some woman very, very happy. I think there needs to be a G&D dating show featuring these two dudes. You could call it Grant Me Love with color commentary from Danny.
Yep.
The dating pool, if you know, could be a lot of us have friends or little sisters, like my little sister's 28 years old. Others who we could see if they'd be interested in calling in and having a conversation with these guys and maybe even going on a date. There is not one person who has listened to the show over the last couple of years and not said that Darius Dameron is the type of guy we'd want our sister to marry. And so I just want to propose this to us that we do.
I love
Grant
it.
Me Love.
Wow.
Yeah, what do we think here?
I love it. I'm in.
I'd like to swipe right on that.
I'd like to send Darius and your little sister to Mike's American Grill.
I mean,
for a nice steak dinner.
This is incredible.
I have to get her approval first.
Yes. Of course, a huge part of it.
Yes.
Huge part of that.
Her approval is very important, I would
right.
say.
Like the yeah. three, like the four of us came up with a great idea. She yes. needs to have a yes.
One of the big things about this show is that we believe in consent.
We are huge
parts.
On that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Josh, I
yeah,
like
now,
this.
Now, Darius can sing, too, right? I mean, I'm just thinking about all the good
great
qualities
singer.
About
he's got
this.
The pipes.
That's a green flag.
Now, he can only say one line, unfortunately. Yeah. But if she just wants to hear him whisper, here comes Grant and Danny's
mailbag
right into her ear.
Yeah.
He's very good at
that
saying that over
baritone?
And over again.
Listen, as a volunteer listener producer, I'd be happy to help in whatever way that I can. I'm sure lots of other G&D ones, that's our version of P1s, would help as well. And we're all in. Let's offline.
All right, so
on this
here's what you
got
to do.
Together.
I need you to chat with her. Also, you guys can hit me up on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson or on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson. If either you are interested in taking part in the dating show or you have I was going to say significant
I was
other,
if you have a sister.
But that would be weird. But if you have a loved one that you think would be a good match for Toby or Darius and be a part of the Grant and Danny listener slash producer love programming that we're going to be doing as a side. This is shoulder programming.
This is a side program.
We're going to do this off of the 2 to 6:30 show.
Look, if you want us, you have to have that show
I
also.
See Darius is warming up his pipe.
Look at this. On command.
Here comes Grant and Danny's Tony's mailbag.
Yeah.
You know he plays every instrument in this too?
Here comes Grant and Danny's Tony's mailbag.
International man of mystery.
He laid down the whistle track first.
The other day, he lives not, you know, kind of close, but not that close, but yep. kind of close over to like Northwest Stadium. So when I was coming back from the game, I had something going on with my tire, and I'm like, Darius, would you take a look at it for me? You're such a man. And so I pulled up at his house. He like looked at it, banged a couple things. He said, oh, it's actually your carburetor non-grata. And I'm like, you're kidding me.
No.
He fixed that.
Yeah.
And then right as I was about to leave, I realized, like, oh, I got to get some hot chocolate, whatever. So he took me into his house. He gave me some hot chocolate.
Isn't that nice?
He started playing the didgeridoo right there. I'm like, how do you know how to play the didgeridoo? I didn't even know what a didgeridoo is. Mark's in Largo. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? That was a journey back down memory lane, guys. That really was.
We went somewhere.
I really loved it. No, I don't think he's going to be calling plays next year. I think I would get if I was him is Jim Schwartz. And I think Jim Schwartz would be amazing to get. I think Jim Schwartz, the last few spots, he won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, and what he's done in Cleveland is just crazy. I mean, they don't have anything in Cleveland, but they got a good defense, and yeah. I think that'll work. But I also think this too, man, and Grant, you tell me, maybe you guys could talk about this the other day, another day. I also think I think Cliff is going to leave. I would go and get Stefanski to be the OC as well, too, and I'm going to tell you why. I think Cliff has done a great job with Jaden. No one's knocking that. But I think there's something that I started thinking in the last couple of weeks. Is this the right system for Jaden? Whereas I think the system may not protect him. And we're sitting up here talking about Jaden, but it may be the system. And maybe if you put him in a Stefanski, which is a Shanahan offense, and you're very familiar with that, both of you guys are, this would be a better offense, and he could play 15 years in this offense.
Look, I'd be really excited about a more traditional kind of West Coast NFL, you're calling it Shanahan, under center, 12 and 13 personnel play action offense. I've been begging for this. I love what Cliff has done the last year and a half, but I would like to incorporate into what he is doing. But I don't think Cliff's leaving. Unless he gets a head coaching job, he'll be calling plays next year. Right now, I wouldn't think he's a favorite for a head coaching job. It's very possible he does. Tavitas Pritchard, who's now the head coach at Stanford, uh-huh. was a guy they were grooming in the event that Cliff got a job. So he's out. Cliff would probably take somebody or two people or so with him. This is how it happens really quickly. Everyone spends all this time yelling at me about how, well, they've got like five guys on the staff. Well, now Tavitas Pritchard's in Stanford, and he may or may not take one or two guys with him. Then Cliff Kingsbury, let's say, in this hypothetical, gets a head coaching job. And now he brings quarterbacks coach David Blau or passing game coordinator Brian Johnson with him as his OC. So now both of those guys are out, and you're left with either Blau, who's never done any, called it one play, or, you know, Brian Johnson, who's done it for part of a season and lost that gig with the Eagles, as like the top guy in your building. Would Dan Quinn roll with those guys he's been developing? He's talked for years about making a mistake in Atlanta and trying to find the next OC rather than building from within.
Yep.
Or would he go get, you know, somebody that got fired, whether that's a Stefanski or Mike McDaniel would probably interest me even more. I think that's a really interesting question. I don't have an answer at this point, but it all might be moot because I do think, personally, I think Kingsbury's back for year three next year.
Yeah, I'm now probably coin toss on that, whether it happens or not. I mean, to me, though, one thing I just want to note in general, I think there are going to be some names, some stars, guys that get bumped down from head coaching roles that we all know that are going to be back in the coordinator ranks.
McDaniel, on offense Stefanski, and defense. Who else?
I was just thinking defensively, you know, names like we've already mentioned Schwartz, but Raheem Morris is a name. Jonathan Gannon might get fired in Arizona, a guy that's coordinated some pretty good defenses in the past. Schwartz, we already talked about, but then on offense.
You won't say Schwartz again.
I know I'm over saying Schwartz. I'm trying to think of all the different guys.
How many times are you going
to
mention
there? Schwartz is a name to think about. Mike Pettine, who's been a DC before, has been a head coach before.
Where is he now?
He's like a linebacker's coach somewhere, like waiting for an opportunity to crawl back in.
Quite an addition to that list.
Yeah, I'm just saying. There's
Schwartz.
Names.
Did you say Schwartz?
I've said Schwartz before. Jim Schwartz is the name.
We'll get you ready for Hard Knocks. A little preview coming up before we get out of here.
With Jim Schwartz.
Also, we're going to tell you who is getting sent home on Commander Survivor. And I want to talk about cursing on television. And that not being the flex everyone think it is. You guys are all going to tell me I'm the problem, that I'm an idiot, that I'm an old man, and that I'm uncool, and I'm soft. So get ready to call me all those things in just a few minutes. This is Grant and Schwartz on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.